We're joined this morning by Juanique Horn Miller, the lead plaintiff in the court case for which the decision came down yesterday afternoon at about 3 p.m. Juanique, thank you for joining us. And what was your initial reaction to hearing the verdict?
Well, my initial reaction was I think it was a pretty fair verdict given by the judge. I still have a lot of reading to do to really understand the whole entire verdict. I'm not a lawyer, so it's pretty long and it's pretty extensive. So that was my first feeling.
You know, reading the opening paragraph of what Judge Thomas Davis wrote, saying that regardless of this verdict, he doesn't really feel things are going to change. How do you react to those words?
You know, this is a civil case. It is my hope, and I think it was the hope of the judge, that there was this would encourage our community to move in a direction of reconciliation into, you know, valuing, you know, the human rights of all of us and to find peace. I think that's what I'm hoping, as I'm hoping that, you know, this case, there is room in this the decision to talk and to find a place where our kids and all kids can have a community that is safe and that is inclusive and that is, you know, based on our true teachings from the great law. And so I know that, this is just it's a small civil case, but it holds, you know, some good messages in it that you know, these ideally and essentially have to be they have to be resolved internally, and hopefully we can move in that direction. And I think that you know, I really strongly believe in human rights. I believe strongly in them and the International Declaration of Human Rights, and I don't believe that they should, you know, there needs to be in conflict with indigenous rights and our rights to self-determination. I think basically human rights and are the same thing as our teachings in the great law and our and the foundation of our nation. So I think that we can get there, and I'm really hopeful.
Well, I mean, it seemed that the judge sort of felt the way that it wasn't really easily reconcilable in terms of, you know, Canadian law and Mohawk law, because he wrote about a mixture of the two that are in existence in Gatawaga and, I guess, by extension, other First Nations communities.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough. I mean, this is, you know, we're not, we do know that these types of situations are an impact of colonization and the Indian Act, which is something that has been opposed upon us for 100 plus years. And, you know, it isn't easy to unravel, you know, laws and ways of doing things and ways of seeing ourselves that have become entrenched into, you know, the fabric of our communities, and that the initial intent and the intent to this day of the Indian Act was to eradicate our people. And so, you know, I think it's important to recognize that, you know, the federal government still has a responsibility in what plays out in the communities and these types of situations. And it's really unfortunate. They seem to have downloaded the human rights abuses and these types of things onto the communities. And I think that we need to see beyond that. We need to look at, you know, go back to our traditional ways of seeing ourselves and nation building. And what does that look like seven generations in the future? And how are we going to get, you know, rip those mentalities that were imposed upon us, like blood quantum and like all those fearful things, and how are we going to rip those out at the roots and then move forward and you know, go back to our belief of finding the great peace, which is, you know, what I hopefully will see one day. And hopefully, I know right now there's a lot of anger and a lot of things like that about this court case, and I'm not, you know, I wasn't excited or proud to have to go to court, but there was really no mechanisms within Gunawaga. There was no place to deal with this situation, and things were getting out of control, and that people were becoming violent, and it was really, it wasn't a safe situation. What? And that wasn't, and even now I'm concerned, even talking to you about how are people, you know, some of those people that are still living in Gunawaga, how are they going to be treated? And that's that's a great fear. Every time I speak to you, I mean, you're a wonderful guy, but it's something that I'm really concerned about.
Well, Monique, I mean, it really does beg the question about, you know, why you went through the court system when you talk about so much about getting back to roots and the original ways of the Mohawk people and First Nations people, you know, why you really felt compelled as the lead plaintiff to go through the Quebec and Canadian court system.
Well, you know, these membership laws and the Indian Act Band Council system is a federal system. The only place to beat it is in their own court system, you know, and that's what it is.
But are you beating the Canadian system here, or you know, you took on the Mohawk Council of Gatawaga, you took on the community here on laws for self-governance?
I didn't take on the community. I took on the MCK. That's who I took on, because I believed what they were doing and the laws in which they were formulating violated human rights. That's what I did. I wasn't taking on the entire community of Gunawage. No matter how many people feel that way, it wasn't my attack on the entire community. It was attacking a system that I feel and have always felt is not one that is indigenous nor organic to our people. It's something that's been imposed upon us. And the only way to beat and get rid of the mechanisms that are essentially designed to eradicate us by an external body, such as the federal government and all the court systems, is to beat it within their court system.
Are you then suggesting that the Mohawk Council of Gatawaga itself be eradicated and a different form of government return here, a traditional form of government return to the community?
I believe, we're all members of this community. We're all family. We're all interrelated. And I think we need to move towards something that is based upon our Indigenous beliefs and our belief system of the Great Law. That's what I believe. How we get there, how we move towards there, is going to be something that has to come from the community, has to come, and we have to move very cautiously because it's been a long process, which the displacement of our traditional government and our traditional ways. And, you know, I don't devalue anybody that works within, you know, the existing government system in Gunawaga. I think they're all family. We're all community members. But right now, you know, I really believe I was left with no alternative but to deal with it in this way. And like I said at the beginning of this interview, it wasn't something I was super proud of to go and do. It was something that I felt I was left with no alternative. And so, how we move forward, how we start rebuilding our nation and how we do this for our kids is going to take a lot of courage. It's going to take a lot of looking forward thinking, but also really looking at where we are trying to build that from. Are we trying to build it from a place of love or from a place of fear? And I think if we can build it on a place of love and rebuilding our community and rebuilding our nation, I think that we are going to be successful.
Okay, Monique, my question to you now is, are you able to do that? Are you willing to do that? Are you able to do that by living in the community of Gatawaga now? Will you return?
Well, you know, I'm always willing to contribute to the community. Always. It's always the only thing I've ever wanted to do is to contribute. I work hard. I am a hardworking person, and I have a lot of love in my heart for where I'm from, and I'm instilling that in my children. A lot of family there, a lot of people that I greatly respect and greatly care about. And so I want to see us flourish. I want to see us succeed, and I want to see us move forward in a good and loving way towards each other.
Do you see yourself coming back here?
Yeah, eventually, one day. I'd love that. Right now, I mean, Keith has he's got to work in Ontario because he's got commitment because of his residency. So, you know, we're here, but that doesn't mean, I mean, I'm from Gunawaga. Like, I can live anywhere on Turtle Island, and I'm still from there. I'm still believe in our nation, and the Mohawk Nation isn't just confined to those borders in Gunawaga. There's thousands of us living all over the place. And we have a lot to contribute back to our community
and
our nation.
last November, December, when you and Keith took the stand in the trial, you had both mentioned about him potentially opening up a medical practice in the community. Is that still in the cards?
This has been a dream for a long time, not only from Keith, but my sister Ojisco. You know, it would be something amazing. You know, Keith is he's a GP, but also a sports doctor, and we got a lot of really talented athletes and a lot of amazing people in our community that could utilize the skills. And hopefully one day that would be amazing. I think it would be a really great thing to do that.
Juanique, in the monetary damages that were awarded by the judge, only $35,000 in total, when each of the 16 plaintiffs was asking for $50,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
Of that $35,000, $1,000 awarded to you.
Mm-hmm.
You had gone on the record beforehand saying that you would like to take that money and build a swimming pool in the community. Did you not?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how far we can get with $1,000, but if there's a fund in which I can donate that to, I absolutely, towards a pool, that would be, I'd be more than happy to. I didn't get into this for the money, and that's why I made that comment early on in the court, when I court launched this court case. Personally, I didn't, that was something that I said. I can't speak on behalf of anybody else within, you know, any of the plaintiffs, so, but, you know, if there's a place, if there's a fund, let me know.
What about setting it up yourself?
Pardon?
What about setting up that fund yourself?
You know what? That's something that I would really like to look into. You know, I really strongly believe in sport, and I know right now I'm pushing things on a national level. Working with the Minister of Sport, I really think that there's so much that needs to be done and more accessibility. So, I mean, this is something, you know, I've got three small kids too, which they need their mom as well. So I've got a lot on my plate, but it's not off my plate. This might not be the first thing on my plate right now. My kids are those people. Those are my first priorities.
We're joined by Juanique Horn-Miller, the lead plaintiff in the court case against the Mohawk Council of Gatawage, and you know, having won the court case yesterday after the decision by Thomas Davis. Have you been in touch with your legal team since the decision came out? Spoken either to Julius Gray or to Genevieve Gray?
There's been some communication, and I think that right now we have a lot more kind of thinking and looking at what it all means. I know that the Mohawk Council of Gunawaga is waiting and to evaluate that. So that's sort of where we're at. You know, I'm speaking to you, you know, on my initial thoughts on how I feel about it. But there's still a lot more. It was a pretty extensive decision.
Engaging a lawyer like Julius Gray, I mean, one of the foremost constitutional lawyers in all of Canada. You know, you win $1,000. Obviously, the lawyers get a percentage of that. I'm just wondering, you know, the $35,000 in total awarded won't even come close to covering their legal fees. How are those being covered?
I'm paying personally. Keith is paying personally. We're all paying out of our own pocket.
Can I ask how much?
No. I mean, legal fees. Imagine how much lawyers get paid. This is not a surprise. Lawyers cost a lot of money, so
that they certainly do. Juanique, what's the? It's interesting now that the Grand Chief Joe Norton, along with Kasanahoe Sky Deer, are in Ottawa over the next couple of days. Any chance you're going to go see them?
No, I hadn't intended to. For what purpose would I go see them?
Well, I don't know, to discuss this decision. I mean, is there any way to begin some sort of reconciliation, and who makes the first move?
I'm always 100% open to that discussion, and I actually did speak to Kasanahoe Sky Deer right after she testified, and I said I would always be there to talk, and, you know, I felt strongly that we needed to work towards getting back to the great peace. And I offered her that after she testified.
So what's the next move for you now?
My next move is to go to work and take care of my kids and, be a mom and try to keep my head above water, which is I know a lot of moms out there are trying to do. It's not easy. So just it's living and it's and moving forward in a positive way, which I'm hoping to do.
Monique, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.